Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back to Mystic Truth Radio. I'm Elaine Reed Cole from Mystic Truth, and today we have a show entitled How to Beat the Holiday Blues. So everybody out there right now, you know, generally is celebrating something, either Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa or, you know, even just, you know, the myth of Santa Claus. And we have huge expectations that we can place upon ourselves. So today we're going to address a little bit of that. And I say we as in I am flying solo today. So please bear with me as I kind of do my monologue. I have no notes in front of me, you know, just it'll be me just speaking from experience and from, you know, really just kind of feeling people out as to what's going on in their lives. So if anybody does want to jump in, though, they are more than welcome to call in on the guest line if you are listening to this live. And the guest call-in number, just as a reminder, is 914-219-0867. I'll say that again. It is 914-219-0867. And since I am on my own, I will not be looking over the chat room. So, you know, if you do have any questions or anything, we as in I, the queen, do suggest that you call in. So let's start out by actually taking a look at traditions and the holidays. So I will lean more towards Christmas because that is what I was raised with, was, you know, in a Catholic family, and we would do church, you know, the mass thing, and we would get a Christmas tree, and, you know, somebody would decorate it. Generally, you know, my mother and father would decorate it, and, you know, we as the children would help out. So to those traditions, you know, family getting together and having dinner and all that. And I know that some of you out there, you know, you have started lighting the menorahs at this point, and you go through that tradition. So we look at this time of year and we start thinking, okay, well, it's time to write out cards if you so do that. It's time to host parties. It's time to get in touch with people that maybe we haven't spoken to over the past year. You know, we try to reconnect. But I want to ask you, what makes it different than any other time of the year? Why is it so important to celebrate at this certain time that someone has marked on a calendar? And why do we pull out all the stops now? And why can't this actually be something that we address throughout the year? We put this pressure on ourselves to, okay, do it up now. You know, you must do it up now. You know, we have to fit in 20 different parties, and maybe we have to bake something for each and every party, and that might be the outfit that I wore last year, so how can I wear it again this year? And it's kind of like we put too much importance on that. So here's a question to mull over. If you are not happy all year long, then what makes you think that the holidays are going to come around and you're going to be happy then? So what I want to do is kind of take a look at your mindset throughout the year. So this thing of marking time, you know, I hear people, oh, God, I'm dreading the holidays. You know, I have to wrap gifts and, you know, how disappointing that is. And maybe I'm doing it without my spouse now because perhaps they died. Or perhaps, you know, it's even a friend. Or maybe you've changed homes. Or maybe you don't have any money to go about it. But isn't it's supposed to be about an attitude. It's supposed to be about an attitude of gratitude. So it's a matter of taking a look at having gratitude at every moment in your life, not just around the holidays, not to turn around and mark your time in such a way that you're actually dreading your time. So marking your time, I know an awful lot of people that go, oh, God, my birthday's coming up. I'm going to be blah, blah, many years old. Isn't that horrible? And they don't celebrate the fact that they've actually made it to that birthday date. They have survived. They have done it. You have been given a gift. Each and every day is a special gift, no matter what's going on. So it's really nice to start habits all year long. And, of course, this is something that you can begin to tackle in the new year. But, honestly, I say, why mark it even with the new year? Start now. And when you wake up in the morning, and I'm going to tell you what I do, the first thing that I do, my eyes aren't even open, but my consciousness is becoming aware. And I say, thank you, God. Thank you for this day. And thank you for it in all ways. So that no matter what happens throughout that day, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I took breaths. I interacted with something or someone, and I had a life for that day. You know, sometimes I'll sing to myself a little diddly about how the sun comes up and the moon goes down, and the world still spins around, and the sun comes up and the moon goes down, and the world still spins around, and it's a beautiful day. Beautiful in every way. And it's just a matter of being appreciative at the fact that you are in your body and you are part of this physical plane at this time. Now, that's something that's hard for people to understand when you're in hard times. So, again, hard times can be anything from, you know, losing a spouse, to losing a job, to being faced with a terminal illness. Maybe it's not even you that's ill, but it's someone else that you're close to. And things change. Things change. So the Christmas that once was is not the Christmas of today. The Christmas has changed, and perhaps there's no gifts under the tree, and perhaps there's actually even no tree. Perhaps there's no special meal, and perhaps you may not even be able to have a conversation with somebody that you're wishing that you can have a conversation with. And that is speaking out to some of the people that are within the Alzheimer's support group that I've been doing some interacting with. What we do is we watch the progression of change happening. And instead of actually taking a look at what bright spots are still left, we hold on to the hungry ghosts, the things of the past. It's kind of like in A Christmas Carol, you know, we hold on to so tightly something from the past that the good things that can be happening now totally slip on by. Dr. Wayne Dyer actually gave it a beautiful kind of metaphoric picture when he talked about our emotions, and it's water. Water is so powerful. You know, which is more powerful, a rock or water? And it's water. Water creeps into any small crevice. It can leak through. It goes around things and over things. And water eventually can even wear down a rock. So here's the water, the emotions. And, you know, we may feel like we're actually drowning in those emotions. And basically, really, all we have to do is kind of learn to float. Learn to float, learn to rise up to the top. There was a girl that I was speaking to actually yesterday, and I was telling her, you know, everybody is faced with some kind of challenge. Everybody is faced with some kind of challenge. And if we kind of look at that challenge like we're cooking a roast, and sorry if I offend any of you vegans out there, but it's kind of like cooking a roast. So you have this roast and you're sticking it in the oven, and all the drippings and everything are, you know, they're all going into the bottom of the pan and stuff. And you decide that you're going to save all of those drippings. And as you save those drippings and they start to cool off, the fat rises to the top. Well, I myself, I choose to be the fat that rises to the top. I will always rise up. We can use bubbles as a metaphor with that too. You know, bubbles in a drink, they always rise up to the top. So when you are being faced with something that seems like this is an unbelievable circumstance, this has changed, it's a matter of really trying to rise up to the top, which means actually rising up in your vibrational level, God self, in your spiritual self, in your self that is part of creation, rising up in that and really embracing all of that. Okay, so I may be losing you here in what I'm saying, so I want to actually break that down a little bit too. So what I'm talking about is actually communing with our creator self, our God self, our self that whether you believe in a divine creator or not, it is there. There is something, a higher intelligence that is out there, and I don't care if you call it Ralph. You know, it doesn't matter what you call it. That's just a title, and titles are unnecessary. But to connect to that higher intelligence, which is part of you, it's part of everyone. It's part of the fact that you are here in the physical. It's there. It's part of it. So it's important to stay connected to that source, and let's call it source. That source is light. So it's important to stay connected to that light, to that source, to that all-powerful, all-knowing part of yourself. Yourself being a personality in the physical, but being connected to everything else. Now, that can be a little hard too when we take a look and say, okay, well, we are connected to all humankind. Well, really, am I really connected to the terrorists that are out there? You know, we're being faced at this time with people who are absolutely negative thinkers, who really have no respect for humankind. And so can we look at them and actually say, well, they are part of us? Well, guess what? We can't not look at them and say they are not part of us. I mean, we have to admit we all breathe the same air. If you cut them, they will bleed. If we cut ourselves, we will bleed. We are what is called humankind. And humankind needs to be more kind. Now, that means kindness to yourself. So again, for those people who are looking at change in their lives, they're looking at a loved one who is no longer the same, or is dying, or is terminal. It's really important to be looking at yourself and being kind to yourself and allowing change to happen, because change is going to happen. The water is going to rush in, it's going to get into the crevices, and you may feel like you're drowning. And those are the difficulties that we are faced with in our lives, is difficulties. It doesn't mean that your difficulties are any worse than anyone else's difficulties. A difficulty is a difficulty. An illness is an illness. It's our perception as to where our scale rises. So, you know, we might say, oh, well, they have it worse than us. And that other person may turn around and be looking at somebody else and saying, oh, they have it worse than me. And so a difficulty is a difficulty. And why do we look at these difficulties as though they have all culminated and become even more rigid and even harder around the holidays? So it's a matter of finding some bootstraps. Generally, you know, I'm not talking about people who don't have shoes. I'm talking about finding bootstraps and pulling yourself up from them and really going into the place of gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you for this day, and thank you for it in all ways, no matter what has transpired. Now, take the expectations away. Take the expectations of someone doing something that you want to have done. If you haven't voiced what it is that you need, then you really can't expect people to act in a certain way. And so mostly I'm referring to family members. You know, if you haven't turned around and told Aunt Mabel that she really bothers you every single time that she comes in and she starts putting down Uncle Joe, then how can that actually shift and change? You know, family winds up getting together, and family is with family generally around this time of year, if you have family that is still around. So you feel obligated, and you get together with that family, and you start kind of nitpicking at, well, this one said so-and-so, and this one said this, and that one did that, and oh my, and you get into all that gossip kind of stuff. And for some reason, you expect it to be different than the year before. You expect it to be different, but you haven't voiced the fact that you would like humankind to be more kind. You haven't voiced acceptance. You haven't voiced camaraderie. You know, you haven't put your heart out there. So if you walk into that situation and your heart is shielded over, then you are not setting the example for Aunt Mabel to actually be a nice person. Now, that doesn't mean that you do unshield your heart and you start to be a nice person and Aunt Mabel still is not a nice person. That's your expectations. And that is her choice to be that way. You know, I always tell people, I can show you my path. And it doesn't mean that you have to walk my path. It's that my path works for me. So I can show it to you. And if you're interested, you can try it yourself. If you're not interested, that's fine too. So it's a matter of making choices. It's a matter of taking away the expectations that everything is going to be perfect. We have, you know, this whole, and poor Martha Stewart, we use her name a lot because, you know, she showed perfectionism in housekeeping and all that, you know, making the perfect pie, making the perfect turkey, making perfect. So, you know, her name has kind of become that symbol for perfectionism. So what we need to do is get rid of our Martha Stewart and really just kind of go with the flow. And enjoy each and every moment the way that it actually is transpiring. And to be able to stand back and take a look at it and say, well, I can find something good here. I can find something good even if Aunt Mabel is really ranking on Uncle Joe. Because maybe Uncle Joe is actually really kind of funny, and she's got some hang-ups, and you know what? I'm not going to take her word for it. I think I might stand back and look at the situation for myself and make my own decisions on how things are going. And I think that today I will make the choice that if I have nothing positive to say, then maybe I don't speak. So maybe today I don't add into the gossip. Maybe today I don't add into the negativity. Maybe today, I can be silent and I can just observe. And I can see what I can pull from this, that maybe they're all too busy just talking about all negative kind of stuff. And maybe I can pull something good out of this. So now you're on your own little treasure hunt. You're on your own quest to be able to see something that is good, that is great. And as you see it, it's kind of like on The Grinch Who Stole Christmas and Cindy Lou who, you know, she starts the whole little group singing Yahoo Dore, and the Grinch's heart just starts to grow a little more and a little more and a little more. Well, you know what? Put a heart in the room. And let it just grow and grow and grow, and let it grow from you. Because it has to start somewhere. So why can't it start with you? Not from somebody else. Don't expect it from somebody else. Give it to somebody instead. If it's what you want, then you give it first. You give what you want to receive. And then it grows. It's just a principle. So back into traditions and being grateful. So I have a little story. When I started out with my husband about 40 years ago, we didn't have much. We were kids. You know, I was 19 and he was 20, and we had our first apartment, and we really didn't have a pot to piss in, pretty much, you know, no phone, no car. Basically, you know, we just didn't, no refrigerator, you name it, we didn't have. But we had this little apartment, and we were surviving, we were making do, we were happy. And I have talked about this some before in, you know, previous shows, how we actually started out. And so it was our first Christmas together. We had, you know, kind of recently moved into that apartment. So I wanted a Christmas tree. So we scraped together a few bucks, and we walked a couple of miles to where they were selling some live, fresh Christmas trees. And, you know, it was a trudge, but that's okay. You know, we were young and healthy, and we could walk those few miles. So we found the best Charlie Brown little tree that we could possibly afford, and we set about carrying it home. Now, it wasn't very big, so my husband, who was actually, he was just my boyfriend at the time, we carried it back home, and we found a pot and, you know, put some dirt in it and stuff to stand that tree upright, because, you know, we didn't have a Christmas stand either. And we actually, we did not have ornaments. We had none. We had none. So what we did invite friends over. You know, a lot of different friends would come around, and it was a good time. And what we started to do was hang our socks on the tree. We just take our socks, put them on the tree. And then one girl, she lived at home at her mother's house. She baked some cookies. So we ate a few, and then we hung the rest on the tree. And it was the saddest looking little, happiest little tree that you could ever imagine. It needed some sparkle, so we actually took some aluminum foil and, you know, balled it up and made little sparkly ornaments out of that. And again, saddest looking, most awesome, most lovable little tree. And our house was warm, because, of course, the heat was included in that apartment. So the house was warm, and the friends were friendly, and the tree was fragrant, and we were happy. And basically, we didn't have anything, but we had that tree, and we had each other. So, you know, 40 years later, I have a beautiful Christmas tree. It's a fake tree because after my daughter was born and after a few years of realizing that the poor thing was sick every year after year and actually narrowing it down to that she was allergic to pine, we got a fake tree, which many of us have, and a fake tree is fine. It's the symbol of it. There are no socks on our tree. There's no balled up aluminum foil. There is no ready to eat cookies on the tree, but there could be, and it would be fine. And I have 40 years worth of memories that are hanging on that tree. And it makes me happy, and it makes me think about where I've come from. And how we have moved forward. I'm not saying that life hasn't been challenging at times. It can be very, very challenging. However, I like to look at, wow, it's been good. Life is good. Life is great. You know why? Because I woke up this morning and I took a breath. You know why? Because I woke up this morning and I said hello to God, and God said hello back. And that makes me feel good. That makes me feel great. And that makes me feel full of gratitude. And that's something that all of us can do. When you feel a disconnect from source, source being you know, what is the ultimate source? What, where can there be no darkness? Is no darkness in light? So if you are in the light, which is source, like the sun is the source, then you are connected, and there are less places for the darkness to reside. because you're connected to Source. I've heard it explained, Source, the word sorcerer comes from the word Source. And this is how we can manifest, is through Source, through the divine creator, which we are part of, which is part of us. It's not a separate entity. It is all totally one. So we create our environment around us. We create our atmosphere. We create our circumstances. And you may not think, you might go, oh, I think I'm a victim. I'm a victim of this happening and that happening, and you have this whole list of stuff. You know, well, I've got this going on in my life, and, then somebody like myself, okay, as a master trainer coach or angel therapist or something, I will point out something positive. Okay, but you have this. And then automatically, from the person who feels as though they are a victim, they'll say, yeah, but, and they'll come up with something else. Yeah, but I got blah, blah, blah. I got a, blister on my toe. Or, oh, but she said blah, blah, blah. And it will always be outside of themselves that they will be looking for blame. Well, they made me feel, we're not doing is recognizing that we have a choice to be able to feel in any way that we want to feel. We have a choice. It's our perception. It's our reaction. So it doesn't mean that you become a non-feeling person. What it does is that you learn to be able to be as empathetic, as sympathetic and as empathetic as you possibly can, and to be a total and absolute feeling person, and to be able to rise above and take a look at things from a different perspective. So let me give you an example here. So let's use God as a kind of like a metaphoric type of entity. So a lot of people think of God as this separate entity, and he's way up high. You know, they even give it a gender. They call him he or father. And so, you know, it's way up high in the sky somewhere. And he's looking down on us. And sometimes maybe we're even thinking that he doesn't even see us or isn't paying any attention to us. Now, what I want you to actually imagine, so pull out your imagination here, because it doesn't matter if it's your imagination or not. Imagine that you are inside of God. Get that perspective of being way up high up there. You are seeing through God's eyes. And you are looking down upon your life. Now imagine that you are God. Not only are you seeing through God's eyes, but you are God, because guess what? God is inside of you, and you are inside of God. There is no separation here. So, you are looking down upon yourself. What do you want for yourself as you look upon yourself? From the perspective of God, who is love, who is all-knowing and is love, because there is nothing that is hateful or negative that is God. God is love. So what do you want for the you that you are looking at? Do you want strife? Do you want danger? Do you want something that is, you know, do you want impoverishment? I don't think so. as that all-loving God looking down upon you, you yourself as God looking down upon you, what do you want for you? Do you want love? Do you want compassion? Do you want wisdom? Do you want kindness? If the answer is yes to that, then from that standpoint, as a divine co-creator with that all-intelligent energy, what are you going to create for that physical self that now, you know, and you have a name, just like my name right now is Elaine. What do you want for them? And how are you going to go about bringing that into your life? So it's a feeling, and I'm not talking about materialistic things. I am talking about a feeling. So as I, as God, as the Creator, as the divine self, down upon myself, and I say, I want for her wisdom. I want for her compassion. I want for her warmth, and I want for her security. I want her to feel a connectedness, and I want her to feel a wholeness. Now, how is that going to come about? So what I do is I stay detached from an outcome. Because things are going to come. If you focus upon those feelings, they will come about, just maybe not in the vehicle that you think it's going to be. So it's probably not going to come about that your loved one who has passed is going to all of a sudden physically going to be there because that's what you want. However, if you were looking for that warmth and that love, then you may have a dream with that loved one, or you may have a grandchild come up and wrap their arms around you and say, I love you. Or you may have a moment with someone who has Alzheimer's or dementia, who just for a minute, just for a second, looks at you in recognition, and then it's gone. It's a fleeting moment, but you had that moment. And in the divine scheme of things, this lifetime is really just that quick flash. It's the expectations that keep us from actually noticing those beautiful gifts that are given over and over and over again. It's a matter of really noticing what's going on, for recognizing it, and then having great gratitude for it. So sometimes what happens is that we kind of get stuck in a rut. We get stuck in a repeat pattern. So if we can look at it this way, you have a boat, and you want to take this boat down this stream. And so you hop in the boat, and, you know, it's under your own power, more like a rowboat or a raft or something, and you start going down this stream. And you come to a fork in the road, and you go right on that fork. So you start paddling, you know, to the right. And as you take that turn to the right, and just a little ways down, you come to, it's like a whirlpool rapids, and you get stuck in it, and the water is swirling around and around and around, and all of a sudden you are losing control of navigating this boat, and you start to go down. The whirlpool is sucking you under. You're finding it harder to breathe. You feel like you're drowning, and it's just terrible and you don't know how you're going to get out of it and you have no control. You have totally lost control. And then, boof, all of a sudden, flips you out. After you're going around and around and around and being tossed around, and it flips you out to the side of this stream, the side of this river. And your boat gets flipped out too. And you go, oh my God, I really thought I was going to die there. I had no control. I was drowning. I couldn't breathe. It was awful. And so you grab your boat and you go back to the beginning of the stream again. And once you gather yourself, you start down the stream again. And you come to a fork in the road again. And you go right. Same direction you went before. And guess what? All of a sudden, once again, you hit those rapids, that whirlpool, and you think, this time, I can so get over this. I am so prepared for this. It's fine. I can do this. I can row my way through it. And all of a sudden, you can't. And you're spinning around and around in this whirlpool, and it's sucking you in, and you're losing control. You've lost control. You feel as though you're drowning. You're going down. And you're going down, and you think you're going to die. And then once again, the whirlpool spits you out eventually. You surrendered, it spits you out. You wind up on the embankment. There's your boat again. And once you've gathered yourself, you go back to the beginning of the stream once again because you are determined. You are so determined that you are going to change that outcome. Go down the river. You go right again when you come to the fork. Same thing happens. For sure this time, you know you're going to die. That's it. It's worse. You have no more strength. It's gotten harder and harder to just even think about this. You're drowning. It's awful. And then the water once again spits you out. You're on the embankment. You muster up some strength. You stand up. You go back to the beginning of the stream yet again. Only this time, you're just too tired. You're just so, so tired. You think you've had enough. You get in your boat, begin to float in the boat. You're not paddling this time. Not at all. You're just kind of going with the current, going with the flow. That same fork in the river comes up. This time you don't even really think about it. You have no expectations. You're just going to float. Current all along has been more flowing to the left. And you go to the left. In the direction where you have no expectations. In the direction where you don't know the outcome. In the direction where you're in the magic stream, just floating along. Just willing to be under the current of something that perhaps knows better than you do. Because your way that you were trying, you felt as though you were going to die. It was time for a new way. You know, they say the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different outcome. So it's a matter of really giving it up to spirit and seeing where you go. And then no matter what is along that way, you will always get another choice. If you think of it like water and branching off, there will generally always be an inlet, a different direction that you can go in. Or maybe you just get out of the water altogether and you begin to walk. So there's always a choice point that comes up. And so that's what we want through these holidays. If you are looking at the holidays and you are dreading it because last year went such and such a way, then go a different way this year. Maybe it is a family gathering, and maybe after so many years, yeah, you are expecting it to be the same way as before. But don't you have a choice to not go there? If it's full of negativity, what says that you have to do that? You have a choice. Everybody has a choice. And don't have expectations for people to change unless you've actually talked about it. We can negotiate as people. We can actually negotiate and plan together. And when somebody is not willing to compromise at all, then maybe that's somebody who you don't need to actually be like partners with. You know, what makes you happy? What are you going to create? Again, think about it in the perspective of the divine creator. You are a co-creator. What do you want to create within your life? So if you want to create something that is full of giving and full of happy and full of kindness, then that's what you have to have, is happy and giving and kindness, so you create that within your life. You don't wait for it to just kind of show up on your door. You begin creating it. You begin by actually giving something kind to someone else. Okay, so here's a for instance. The other day, my daughter and I threw a party for the gals. We had the gals over, and you know, we were 19 headcount strong. And, you know, people brought things to kind of add to the party and stuff. And it was very lovely. Everybody was in a great mood. Everybody was kind. And one of the best gifts that I got was a friend of my daughter's hug. Hello. It was a beautiful hug. And I pointed it out to her. She gave me this hug. It felt warm and cozy and awesome. Not that any of the other hugs weren't just as good, but this one stuck out in my mind. It was a hug that when we released, I had to go back and say, wait a minute, can I have another one? You know, the eating the best cookie. It was a hug. It was a great gift. Can't we just give that? Can't we give a smile? Can't we give a hug? Can't we give a thank you? Can't we give a positive note? Those don't cost anything at all. And that's one of the highlights. I mean, you know, again, we had a great time, great people, great food. It was wonderful. That hug really sticks out in my mind. It didn't cost her a penny. It didn't cost me a penny. It was just, it was beautiful. And so was the whole day. And so was the camaraderie. And that's what I wanted to put out there to people, was that, you know. So be careful if you see me on the street. I may give you that kind of hug. So let's get into, now that we're talking about that, gift giving a little bit. Because gift giving also is talking about receiving. I have said this numerous amounts of times. People have a hard time receiving. And receiving graciously. Now, growing up, there was 12 kids within my family. You know, there was only two that were older than me. I was the third one. So not all of the Christmases were quite that big, but, you know, they were large. And my mother always did her best at making sure that everybody had something for Christmas, and generally more than one thing. You know, we had our own little section in the living room where she would make, you know, this was your certain pile of stuff that you got. And everybody had a stocking, and there would be a couple of things in the stocking. And you know what? It was quite the effort for her to do that. And there was always one sibling who would tendency to poo-poo what they got. You know, they just didn't appreciate it, or they would actually kind of, you know, pout off in the corner because they hadn't gotten so-and-so. And, you know, they weren't really grateful. And, you know, it really wasn't about what it was that you got. It was about the fact that somebody had put such effort into trying to make sure that everybody had something. You know, it's rubbing two pennies together and, you know, all of a sudden manifesting something to be able to celebrate Christmas with. Now, that kind of attitude, that kind of a negative reception to receiving is something that you'll see everywhere. Oh, it's not the brand that I wanted. Oh, it's not the color that I wanted. Oh, it's not, you know, exactly right. And the lines for returns in the stores are, you know, ridiculous. Why can't we just accept whatever it is for whatever it is as it is? It's the gesture. It's the gesture of things. So long time ago, when my dad was alive and my mother was still alive, I had saved up and gotten Nutcracker tickets for myself, my daughter, my mother, and my father. I thought that would be a nice thing. We'll all go out and, you know, have a nice day in Boston and watch the Boston Ballet perform the Nutcracker. You know, kind of a nice little tradition thing. So I gave the tickets to my parents, and they opened them up, and my dad said, "What am I going to do with these?" Okay, not the reaction that I was looking for. Not the reaction that I was hoping. You could feel my mother kind of wishing that her elbow was close enough that she could elbow him. And, you know, he did wind up going, and he had a great time when we went. He just didn't appreciate it at the moment. And I thought, well, this is like not a lesson that you don't teach this to people. This is a bad lesson. Receive graciously. Now, years later, let's move it, years later, my mother had passed away. I believe that my dad was in the early stages of, you know, cognitive impairment, you know, moving into Alzheimer's. And he had a gift for me. This was for my birthday, not for Christmas, but for my birthday. He showed up on my doorstep with a box in hand. And, you know, he said, "Happy birthday." And it wasn't wrapped. It was just a cardboard box. And I opened it up. And it was a bottle of Gorilla Glue. Gorilla Glue. I didn't know what to make of it. I said, "Thank you. And this will come in handy." Because, of course, my father and his reactions to different things, and that one particular sibling who, you know, had a tendency to pout over gifts, and that reaction had been actually one of my strongest lessons to just accept graciously. You don't negotiate your gift. You don't put parameters on it. What you do is you say thank you. So I was thankful for Gorilla Glue. It was another thing, too, when we were young and I had my own apartment. Most of the family was very young, and my youngest sister was probably in her second grade. And amongst my siblings, we would draw names and buy a gift for that one particular whoever drew our name. So my youngest sister, again, she was very young, first or second grade, had drawn my name. And what would happen is that there was a church bazaar, a yearly church bazaar, and my mother would give them a dollar or two, you know, the youngest kids, to go and spend at the church bazaar. So my youngest sister took her money and actually bought me a little handmade teddy bear, just small. It was probably only, you know, like 5 inches tall, little handmade thing. And she gave it to me at Christmas time. Now, you know, had I been thinking, oh, I wonder who got me, you know, who picked my name and what am I going to get? Well, yeah, of course, I was a kid myself. You know, I was in my teens, but I was still a kid myself. So, ooh, what am I going to get? And I got that teddy bear, and she was so proud. So how could I not receive it with, like, the biggest smile and, you know, acceptance and all that? It was a great little, it was a gesture. And for her, it was huge. For her, it was, she took her couple of bucks and she spent it on that. She spent it on me. So I accept graciously. So it's important for you to have gratitude and to see your gifts. See your gifts. I'm not talking traditional Christmas gifts now, but see your gifts. See the fact that today you have a roof over your head. See your gift that today I have food to eat. Of today, so-and-so is still here. You know, I keep telling people, you know, like somebody who has a terminal illness, because I do deal with people who are terminal. And, you know, people will say, oh, how can you be around that? And I will say, just like in Monty Python, well, they're not quite dead yet. You know, it's really a matter of they're not dead yet. I want to enjoy them while they are still here. I don't have to avoid them. They are who they are. They still are who they are. They are just not in prime physical form, but that doesn't mean that they are not prime spiritual form. They are in spirit. And that's where I want to commune with them, is in spirit. So hopefully, you know, we can actually take a look at these traditions of Christmas and Hanukkah and, you know, all the other holidays that we celebrate and actually bring an air of, you know, just communing together and appreciating each other, not dwelling upon the bad that's in the world, but how about recognizing the good that's in the world? How about not getting wrapped up into negative talk politics? How about not getting wrapped up in he's wrong and I'm right? How about not getting wrapped up into violence and let's go out and buy a bigger gun? How about humankind be more kind? That's what I wish. That's what I wish. So look at those things that perhaps you can work on a little bit within your own life, not within somebody else's life, within your life. Are you connected to Source? Are you taking time connecting to Source? Are you taking time being alone physically and connected to everything? Because that's where you're going to find peace. I have always said that the furthest trip that you can take is the one done while standing still with eyes closed. And that's where you venture forth and connect with everything. You can travel the world, but you'll see far more if you just connect to Source. This physical world is temporary. And if you can look at it always through the eyes of the Creator, through the eyes of God, then what do you want for this particular physical self? I think you want love. I think you want kindness. So give that to somebody and it will come back to you 100-fold. All right. Now, I think at this point, I'm going to call it a day. Let me see if I can see this. And please bear with me a little bit here as I try to read some notes that I wrote. Because it is there. You create your reality, and I did go over that. One thing that I didn't actually go over is that the scale of love and fear. And love is always at one end of the scale, and fear is at the other end of the scale. And as you move further and further away from love, you will find that attributes of fear become more and more predominant. So that might be depression, anxiety, all the things that lead up to fear. So what we want to do, because it's really hard for somebody who is stuck in fear to actually jump right into love. So maybe what we can do is start, if you feel as though you are in that fear place, which can be depression and anxiety and, you know, all the other words that can go along with it. Let's just move a bit in that scale and move yourself to at least compassion and have compassion for yourself. And as you have compassion for yourself, then you can start to move it into self-respect. For yourself. And now all of a sudden you have moved further away from that fear and you're starting to lean a little bit more towards that love scale end and do it in increments. So compassion, self-respect. How about self-acceptance? And then you can move, you know, at increment after increment, all the way up to love. And once you are at love, you can give it. You're full. Your cup is full. You are full of love at that point. So I'm not going to give you shopping tips. I'm not going to give you wrapping tips. I'm not going to, you know, browbeat this over and you should actually, you must put up a Christmas tree, you must light the menorah. This is not about a religious act or anything. This is just about kindness. This is just about peace. This is just about self-awareness and understanding who and what you are. So I will always tell you, imagine, then create, and then inspire. Imagine, create, and inspire. And that's how we make absolute beautiful world that we are in. So happy holidays to all of you. And for Mystic Truth Radio, I'm Elaine Reed Cole, and you can find me on Facebook, either Elaine Reed Cole, the Winged Mystic, or on the Mystic Truth page. You can also go on to www.mystictruth.net, and there is contact information there. And until next week, happy holidays to you all, and let's keep talking about it. Bye now.